Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Pete. Pete, good to see you this evening.
Hey, I'm going back to my university days at Monsters University today.
No, the guys were just ugly.
I didn't really go there.
And Steve, we got you back. Steve's been on a whirlwind trip, and we missed you the last couple of weeks. How you doing?
I'm great. I'm tired after an amazing 17-day Disney centered vacation.
Wow.
I think we're all jealous. But guys, if you've not already, please like, subscribe, share. We've got some fun shows coming up, including a video next week that one of our members actually got to see at the world premiere. So this last week. So this week, I moved my only son up to college this week. So I thought, what a better movie to watch than Monsters University. It is the prequel to Monsters, Inc. Follows Mike and Sully and Randall's in there and such at Monsters University as they try and become scarers. And there are classes they have to take. And it ends up that Mike is not scary, but he ends up making a bet that if they win the scarer games, that he will get to stay in the scare program. But if not, he gets kicked out. And Sully ends up jerry-rigging the last event to make sure that they win. And then Mike has to seeks to prove that he's scary, and he goes to a cabin full of girls, and he's not scary at all. Aw, aren't you cute? Okay, did anyone else in that scene think that the girl who went rawr, that it sounded like the same roar that Boo said?
Yeah, but this happened years before.
It's a prequel. Boo,
so, but yeah.
The audio cue, I wonder if it wasn't the same audio cue.
It could have been, for sure. Yeah.
So, but they end up getting kicked out, but they end up going and working in the mailroom and work their way up to work on the scare floor. And I hope everything works out for them. So in this, what roared over everything? What really, really worked for this show, Pete?
So for me, you know, this is a prequel. You already mentioned that. A lot of times prequels to me don't really work because they either make the characters very different from the final movie, or they like shoehorn so much stuff in
fan service in,
right? And it doesn't feel like it's really something that happened to the characters beforehand. And I thought they did a pretty good job of this in that, I mean, you mentioned a little bit, but like Mike and Sully aren't friends at this point, right? They're have more of an antagonizing relationship. Sully is very lazy. He's getting by on that he's big and scary looking, but he doesn't study. And so, you know, Mike begrudgingly, has him on his team, but they definitely aren't getting along at first. And so I did like what they did with the characters. I liked that they didn't super try to shoehorn Randall was there, but like it wasn't like every character from Monsters, Inc. is in this movie, you know. So I did like, as I said, I think it worked as a prequel more so than a lot of prequels do. And it did have some laughs in it as well, which is important in a Pixar movie. So,
yeah.
What about you, Steve? What did you appreciate?
I think I appreciated that it's not really a twist ending, but it didn't go the normal Mike ended up actually scaring everyone in one. Right. You know, it's sort of that Mike's not scary. How can we wrap that up and still have that story of, I guess, like you might, even though you might want to do something, you might not have the talent, but there's other ways that you can show your talent, which I think that was nice. like I said, there are some good laughs, some great characters. Squishy is one of my favorites. I found him funny. And then I know Gino's like mentioning art. So a good assortment of characters and stuff.
Yeah. Pete, I would definitely agree. I think this is one of the better prequels that has been done. And that's full stop, animated or not.
Yeah.
Because as you said, prequels are very hard because they're either so full of fan service, they make the characters totally different, or it has nothing to do with anything.
Right.
So, I appreciate the fact that it looked still like Monsters. It wasn't a completely different look than Monsters, Inc. It made sense that this was still the Monstropolis universe rather than somewhere else, which I appreciated. I mean, I don't know what I would have expected, but there are times where different locations that aren't in the original movie look completely different than Star Wars. It worked as a prequel. It worked as developing the relationship that we see in Monsters, Inc. between Mike and Sully. Works.
Yeah.
So if that's what roared over everything, what really scared us? What did not work in this? And Steve, I'm letting you start.
I think it's overall, it seems like it's a good sequel, but sort of that straight to video or straight to streaming, like not that big.
In the 90s, that's what they would have done with this.
Right. That's what I feel like. It was an okay story. I mean, I've seen it before, but nothing like, definitely prefer Monsters, Inc. to this one. So it seemed like sort of that mid-range story. Sort of missed there. Very sort of predictable at points.
At points? They tried to do a family-friendly Revenge of the Nerds and it didn't work.
yeah.
And I have a hard time sitting through an hour and a half movie that is nothing but making fun of people that are different and glorifying bullying.
I agree with this a lot. There's just too much in this movie of Mike getting bullied for no real reason.
No. And I think that's the one thing that bothered me the most as I watched it. I just watched it this afternoon, and it's one of those, any funny moments were taken up with the fact that they kept bullying the Uzma Kappas mercilessly. Even when they tried to accept them, they didn't, nobody really accepted them. And everybody seemed okay with that. There was never a point where anybody come in and said, guys, this isn't cool. Have it be a completely unrelated professor. It's just one of those, you guys realize they just beat you, right?
Yeah, I think I would have wanted to see like one of the Roar guys be like, hey, you know, they're doing this. Why do we keep, you know, I don't know. It's,
yeah. One of the ways they tried to fail on Revenge of the Nerds is because Revenge of the Nerds did bring that up of people got bullied and people finally said enough. They never did that at the end of this. So that was my biggest problem, was they're just mean. I know monsters are supposed to be mean and scary, but not like this. Not if this is a kid's movie. So Pete, what else didn't work for you?
Yeah, I mean, that was a lot of it. I mean, you just, what you guys just both said, I feel like I really didn't like that, like, right from moment one, everybody's telling Mike what a failure he is, even though he's clearly the smartest and most knowledgeable one in the class.
Yeah.
Right? And so I don't find that, like, he would find his people. He was a nerd, right? He would find other nerds
at college. He would totally find his people,
right?
Yeah.
And so instead to have him in this situation, you know, and I guess another thing is, like, clearly there are, you go, you, you, you know, this, again, a problem with the prequel. you look in Monsters, Inc., clearly there are scarers, and then there are the people that manage the scarers. And Mike is perfect as a person that manages the scarers, and yet there's no class for that?
No? Apparently not.
So, so I don't, you know... Again, that's always it's easy to pick on a prequel, and so I, you know, that's not that big a deal, but yeah, I wanted it to be less mean overall than it was. Yeah. Just as you say, it's a kids' movie, and it should feel happier than that. I did, you know, on the plus side of that, I did like the way that Mike and Sully's relationship grew from. Where they really disliked each other, and Mike, he was the one that kind of realized, like, I'm not treating Mike fairly.
Yes.
So I will give them that they did that through the Sully character, realizing that he's really a good guy, but
right.
Yeah, it was too much.
Okay. Okay. We are all 40 or 50 years old. and it has been several years since we've been in college, but I think we all remember our college years, at least mostly clearly. There's some Fridays and Saturdays that, you know, might be a little fuzzy. But which of the monsters did you relate to the most? And I'm going to say if it's a different answer then versus now, but which monster do you or did you relate to the most? And Pete, I'll start with you.
It's got to be Mike in this role, not the being picked on side of it. But the like wanting to be the best student and wanting to be like to prove that I could get the grades. And I was very much even though I did well in high school, I went to a school called Rensselaer that's in near Albany, New York. And it was a very competitive engineering school. And it was also expensive. And I was like, I didn't feel like I was like, this is all my parents are paying a lot of money. I got to prove that I'm good here, you know? So I kind of felt that was what I related to with Mike was, you know, he felt like he had to prove himself. And that's kind of how I felt in college, at least the first couple of years, is that I had to prove that I could do it. So definitely Mike's character. Steve?
I'm like you, between sort of a combination between Squishy and Mike. I was very nerdy, into the books, like work to get good grades, but also sort of that sort of clueless Squishy character. Yeah. So put them together.
That's fair. Yeah, I think honestly, I think we got three Mikes here, and I was more like Mike in high school. As far as the getting picked on and being, okay, saying this with the tone of this movie, being the smartest one in the room and knowing what's going on and everyone making fun of them for it, that was my high school experience. And then when I got to college, it was very much the Squishy, it was very much the people that everyone, you know, we were talking about this before, you find your niche. Everyone,
right.
Everyone can, there are so many people at college. I went to University of Kansas, there were 30,000 people there. I was able to find my group of friends, in my case, it was through the band, and make the friends that I actually still talk to today and be able to truly be myself around them. Which I think is Squishy probably closest in of those of yeah. Very happy with, you know, who seems to be happy with who he is and not really ashamed if people don't like him like that.
Right.
But I think that's also what this continues to go back to what bothered me the most is your main characters were not allowed to truly be who they, you know, there's none of that. Be happy with who you are.
Yeah.
So, okay. Any other thoughts on Monsters University, or are we ready for Pegasus rating?
No, I feel like I agree with you guys a lot. Like it really did feel like in another age, this would have been a direct to video movie. You know, some of Pixar does a lot of sequels, and a lot of their sequels feel worthy of you know, being a theatrical movie. And the other thing I'll say with this is there was no, like, the finale of this movie was very low key. Like, there wasn't really any, like, you think of the first movie and, like, the door coaster, right? I mean, it's literally so good that 20 years later, we're all like, oh my God, they're going to build a door coaster. You know, this movie ends with Mike goes into a cabin and tries to scare some girls and he doesn't.
Yeah.
And then Sully comes through and then they scare some adults, you know, but I mean, it just takes place in a room and it's just a very, it's a very direct video feel to it. Like, yes. There's no big set pieces in this movie that make it feel theatrical, even though, right, it was a theatrical movie.
Yeah. And it was the, I will say this is a movie that I went and saw with my son and I got to watch up until he got into the cabin. And then my son yeah, said, no, that's enough. And because if it got scary at the very end of movies, he tended to want to leave, which,
right,
I get that. He was 5 at the time. So this would have been scary for a 5-year-old. But he also did the same thing with Planes. But, like when
I don't remember the end of Planes. There was like a fire or something.
When, right, Dusty crashes, oh, and before he gets rebuilt. But anyway, so Monsters University, as we always do, we give cups of pixie dust out of 5. What are we giving Monsters University, Pete?
I'm going to give this a 3. I think this is maybe the third time I've seen it. I enjoyed it well enough. It's not one I would really go out of my way to see again. But if it was on, I would watch it. I mean, I enjoyed it enough. So it's kind of just like on that edge of, I recommend it. So 3 for me.
I'm with you, Pete. A 3. I mean, I liked it. Second, I've watched it twice. So it was enjoyable.
And I'm a solid 2. I mean, the moments that were amusing in it was not enough to outweigh the things I didn't like about it. Mm. So again, not one of Pixar's best, by far not their worst, but not one of Pixar's best. So, okay, yeah. Disney Plus news. I'm sorry Kate's not here. We actually have a lot of Disney Plus news this week. So first thing, Toy Story 5 is now available for digital purchase. Likely means it'll be coming to normal Disney Plus in about a month to month and a half. Have either of you guys seen Toy Story 5?
No.
Does anyone have any desire to see Toy Story 5?
I would say yes.
Yeah, I would say I will watch it when it comes out because I did hear mostly positive about it. So
I think it to be worse than 4.
I did not like 4. You know, I don't love 3, but boy, they made an almost perfect trilogy of movies with the first 3, and it just, yes, kind of annoys me that they keep making going. Them.
Yeah.
But I probably will watch it.
Okay. And I will be perfectly honest, I'm not sure if we're going to watch it on here or not. I haven't decided on that one yet. So, apparently Gina has seen it and liked it better than she thought. It's much more focused around Jesse. So, but anyway, we'll see. Up next, Disney has canceled, and I'm sorry, Pete, has canceled the planned reboot of Power Rangers.
No! Oh, wait, no, I don't care.
Yeah, no one cares. Yeah. next, and Steve can talk a little bit more about the reaction to this, a Kingdom Hearts animated series will be coming to Disney Plus soon. It's based on the popular video game of the same name. No release date has been announced. And Steve, you said this was the biggest reaction at the theater.
I would say when I was at the D23 first night when we were announcing this, the crowd went wild for that and Coco coming to the actual game experience because all those came together. Probably the biggest reaction of the night.
Okay. I have done nothing with Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah. Right? To me, Kingdom Hearts, people that are, and I am not one, people that are fans of Kingdom Hearts love Kingdom Hearts. So I think it doesn't surprise me that it would have a very, I would expect like a third of the crowd to go nuts and the other 2/3 to go kind of.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I, I'm on the, you know, I tried, I assume it was three. I don't know. I played it for like an hour and I didn't get it. I was just kind of confused by what was going on, and so I never went any further with it because it started
as a console game, I think. It was either on Xbox or PlayStation that it's then.
Yeah, it was on Xbox that I tried. As I said, I think it's the third one, because the fourth one is either just came out or is coming out. I'm not sure.
You're asking the wrong person.
Yeah.
So,
but as I said, there's a group of people that are not surprised that would go completely nuts for it, because it combines like the Japanese anime
and like the first person
video game
world exploring and
with Disney characters and, you know, with where Donald and Mickey and Goofy are really like centric to the game. So,
yeah. Okay, Mandalorian and Grogu finally has a set of release date on normal Disney Plus of September 2nd, which makes sense it coming out right before Labor Day weekend. We will be watching that when it comes out. Did either of you watch it in theaters?
No, nope. Yeah, I did.
Okay, how was it? Initial response? Are the four of us going to like it? Are Steve and I going to like it? Because Kate won't. So our
my guess is what I would say is, if you've enjoyed the Mandalorian show for the most part, you'll like this.
Okay.
It's kind of like watching like three episodes back to back. I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Yeah. Ahsoka season 2 also has a debut date of January 20th, 2027 on Disney Plus. This will be next year. Trailer was released. Now, if I remember right, Ahsoka is still in a completely different galaxy, but Ezra is in their normal galaxy again. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yes.
Ahsoka, Sabine, and then the two like
Sith hunter bad, people. Yeah.
Bad Jedi, whatever you want to call them. They're not really Sith, are stranded on Peridia, which is that planet in another galaxy, and then Ezra made it back,
and
Thrawn is back in the original galaxy. So there's going to be
I'm excited.
Is back in the original galaxy. Is that, or was Cad Bane in this, or was Cad Bane in Book of Boba Fett? I don't remember.
Cad Bane was in Book of Boba Fett.
Okay.
The trailer looked awesome, though. I'm excited. Yeah, the
trailer looked pretty good. I think it'll be decent. The upcoming series Oswald will be released on February 17th, 2027. The three-episode miniseries follows an animated Oswald interacting with real-world individuals in areas in and around the Disney studios. So, Steve saw the trailer to this. The trailer is online. I find it interesting that Oswald is going to be all hand-drawn.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes. So, that I like it. It gives very much Who Framed Roger Rabbit vibes.
I can see that.
So,
I think it's weird that it's like a three. Like, how long are the three episodes? Because
it could have been a movie, but they wanted to do it on.
Right.
They eventually want to release it on TV, so they did 3 hour long episodes. It sounds.
Oh, it's like 3 hour long episodes. Okay.
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense then, that it's not a movie, but it's a weird choice to make it that short.
Especially because they're releasing all three the same day.
Right.
So, a new animated series, Cars Lightning Racers, is set for the service in 2027. It's a Disney Junior show aimed at younger children, which I will tell you, young boys will eat this up. Like, nope, this will be bigger than with boys than Sophia the First was with girls.
They actually announced that like a year ago, so that was not a new announcement. But
right, but
It got a date.
We got a 2027 date on it.
Yeah.
So, and then season 2 of Imagineering Story is in the works, coming in 2028. Which I don't know, part of me says, how long does it take to put a series together that they've already got most of the footage for? But
I don't know.
Which hopefully means they've got other stuff that they're going to try and release in 2027 that makes it interesting and doesn't have these big, huge gaps of nothing being released.
I can see part of it is going to be stuff they're currently building. So when we get closer to opening dates, it's sort of also a promo.
Okay. Is that booking up Cars Land then into at least partially opening in 28?
Maybe. I know we were talking about that before we started today, but that makes me think of...
You got Tropical America, you got Avengers Campus.
Yeah.
You've got the cruise ships.
Well, you say it's all existing footage, but there's a lot of interviews that have to be done.
Well, yeah.
So
yeah.
if she hasn't shot the interviews yet, you know, I'm surprised it's as far away as 2028, but I would expect it to take like a year.
I mean,
and she said they haven't started yet. So
yeah, so it because most of the footage she showed felt like it was recycled. Basically, it was footage. The footage that she showed was no new footage. It wasn't them building anything new. So I can see where you're at, Steve. Although, imagining story, last when we left off, it was with like the Star Shanghai. Wars there. Oh, was it with Shanghai?
Shanghai was, I think, also there.
Yeah, okay. I think so.
So, yeah, this will be much either. I hope they go back and do some of the stuff they skipped originally. And it's not just necessarily a second carrying on timeline season.
Yeah, I would hope so. I mean, it came out very early in Disney Plus, so I think it came out in 2020.
Gina, look it up and back on and let us know.
2019.
So even, so even more, 2019.
Very, very early.
Yeah. So, there is, you know, by the time it comes out in 2028, that's 9 years. So,
yeah. So there's new, you know, a bunch of new stuff they've done in the last 9 years.
There is a lot to cover.
Yeah.
I don't know that they can do 6 episodes if they just do 9 years, but
who knows? But they will figure out. Okay. So coming next week, we're going to be watching the new, speaking of Leslie Iwerks shows, we're going to be watching the documentary Disney World Builders. Debuted this last weekend. Steve has seen it and enjoyed it from what I gathered. Any preview without giving away what it's total? What does it focus them on? Them building.
It talks about the persons from sort of each franchise, and then their sort of personal connection to creating their world, and sort of like in the movies, but then also seeing it coming to the parks. And then having other people, like having the opportunity to see other people interact with that. So sort of seeing their vision come to like sort of that really
something along the lines of like George Lucas talks about how he created Star Wars and then seeing how people interact with Star Wars Land.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. The from the different ones. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's like 4 or 5 parts because there's different like universes and there are stronger parts.
8 or 9. I'm guessing they're set up about 8 or 9 minutes a piece, so you can have a commercial break after each one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the last 15 years, we've seen a shift in theme parks from immersive rides to immersive lands. And the impression I get is this focuses on the concept of immersive lands.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll watch it. So far, we've liked everything she's done. So we'll see how things go. But we'll watch Disney World Builders next week. But if you have suggestions on what you want us to watch, there's not a ton coming out really until October-ish, to be honest, until Vision Quest comes out. So give us suggestions. What do you want us to watch? Send us an email at plusfortune@gmail.com. Message us at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, anywhere. We answer any and all the messages we get. We have new episodes coming out every week on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Pete and Steve, Gina in the background, Kate at rehearsal, we miss you, and we will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Plus Platoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.